Today on another frightful episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, when a beloved uncle passes away, family members are only left with the memories of his kind soul. However, one family member seems to get a second chance at saying goodbye and a message of reassurance about an upcoming tragedy that she couldn't have known was coming. That story and much more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Welcome to the program. And yes, 855-853-4802, our phone number. You can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and share your real ghost stories with us. It's so fun to hear them when it's in your own voice, just the emotion that comes across. Please do call in 855-853-4802 and share those with us. If you really like the show, become an extra podcast person. That's a supporter. You get access to our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, the whole archive of episodes, which is quite literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. You get access to all of that for $5 a month. Two places, our website, ghostpodcast.com, or you can go over to Patreon. We are there as well. Patreon.com/realghoststories, or just search Real Ghost Stories Online. Four words, Real Ghost Stories Online on the Patreon app, and you'll find us there as well. Get access to all that stuff. It's so cool. It's Tony and Harper with you on today's episode of the program. It's a late summer night as we record this. There's no school in the morning.
Yay.
We've been out kind of doing our things throughout the day, and we had a nice little chat on our porch watching fireflies just before. And Harper's like, let's go and do a show. Like, let's go and do a show. So here we are. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's jump on right over to our first letter of the day. It says, hello, I love listening to your podcast and decided to share my story. It was not an encounter. It was a dream involving a loved one who came to tell me about something that would be happening in the future. I currently live in Virginia, but was born and raised in Houston, Texas, where my whole family lives. My uncle was a pastor who passed away unexpectedly in July of 2017 during a family vacation. I was devastated by the news because I did not get to be there with my family right away due to me living thousands of miles away. This was the first time I had experienced the loss of a loved one who was close to me. Fast forward a few weeks after his death, my uncle appeared in one of my dreams. In my dream, myself and my whole family were inside my uncle's van, which he used to drive when I was a kid. The van then suddenly turned into a floating boat because all of a sudden the whole city was underwater. It looked like it was an ocean. We were trying to get to land. When we finally arrived at the safe place, it was the church where my uncle was a pastor. We then walked to the kitchen of the church because we were hungry. We didn't have any utensils, so we went into a cooking area, and there I saw my uncle standing. He was holding a golden tray with golden utensils. I was confused because I knew he was dead. I then asked what he was doing there and how he was doing. He replied, I'm well and everything will be okay. Don't worry. I then grabbed the tray and said, I miss you and see you then. He suddenly disappeared and I walked away. I woke up from the dream and thought it was such a weird dream and then just forgot about it, thinking it was just another random dream. A few weeks later, Houston, Texas was hit with a Hurricane Harvey. The city was flooded. Unfortunately, a lot of people lost their homes. It was very tragic, especially since I was so far away. My family was there. Miraculously, out of millions of people who lost everything, my whole family was safe and none of them had any type of damage to their homes or lost power. That's what hit me. My uncle came to tell me not to worry about them because they were going to be okay. It all made sense then. Thank you for allowing me to share my story. I'll send another story that also involves my uncle very, very soon. Do you understand the kind of the analogy of the dream?
Yeah.
What do you get out of it?
Okay, so kind of like just the whole boat sitch in the dream really just kind of like represents like they're going to be okay. They're like above it and they're fine.
Mm-hmm.
And they're perfectly healthy and all that. And they get to dry land. They're able to get to dry land, which is really just kind of like getting from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. Of just like going through this traumatic experience and coming out great, which is point B.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the analogy.
You did good. Yeah, it's exactly that. And it's interesting. I mean, it's not that deep of a one, but it's still, you got to take a couple seconds to kind of think about it. And it's interesting that they had that moment beforehand and then kind of it came back later as some assurance from the other side that, you know, this wasn't just a crazy dream. You know, I knew you were going to be okay, and maybe some assurance that you will continue to be okay. That was a horrible hurricane when it went through. Houston was literally underwater. And we've been through Houston. It's the city that goes on forever. It's a city that should almost be a state. I think it's bigger than some states, technically. I think it's bigger than Rhode Island, actually. It was down towards Gulf Shores.
Oh, yep.
Yep. It was a big city that never ended. And I drove through it after Hurricane Harvey, but you could still see a lot of the damage. You could still see a lot of the craziness. And it was just, it was mind blowing to think about all of this area being underwater, but it was during Harvey. And, you know, we talk about Katrina a lot, but I think Harvey gets forgotten in the mix. And Harvey was very, very devastating as well. Maybe not necessarily in loss of life, but in destroying homes and just so much damage. It was a very dramatic storm. But when was Harvey? You were alive, but you were itty bitty.
Yeah.
You weren't standing there watching the Weather Channel yet. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd absolutely love to hear them. Let's jump over to a phone call here. And again, the number, 855-853-4802. Call it 24/7 and share your ghost stories. Hi, what's yours?
Hey, guys, what's going on? So this is another long one from Ohio. So I don't know if you'll use it or not. But rather than breaking it up into three, I figured I'd just tell the whole story. This story happened from 1994 until 1995, growing up in a haunted house. So before we moved into the house that I would spend my high school years in, we lived in a small white, what used to be servants' quarters for a large colonial next door. And I'll tell you how we got there. So this is Doylestown, Ohio, and there's a town next door called Barberton, and Barberton has a hospital. And at the time, my dad and mom had gotten divorced when I was 7. My dad moves to his best friend's basement in Kenmore looking for a job. He's a nurse. He finds a job at Barberton Hospital. And we spend a couple summers on top of my uncle's musician's bargain basement up there in Kenmore, living above the store. And then would go back to my mom's house in Niles, right, during school. So I'm 12 years old. I decided I want to live with my dad. So I let him know, and he starts looking for places. And he had a motorcycle, and he was just driving down a country road, just so happened to see this little town, pulls in, never been there before, stops at the local gas station, and the man in front of him at that time is his best friend from high school. They grew up together. They did everything together. They were inseparable. They were two of a trio, and they lost touch after my dad went to the Coast Guard and just, you know, never really rekindled the friendship. So he's staring at his best friend from high school he hasn't seen in 25 years. And it just so happens that this man also lives in this town, and there's a little house for rent across from his. So my dad checks it out. Now this house it really wasn't a house. Like I said, it was really more of a servant's quarters. It had a living room and a kitchen that were connected. And it was a small hallway that terminated in a bathroom that had no bathtub. It was the shower, vanity, and toilet. And then to the left, there was a small bedroom. My dad put his bed in the living room, and we were intended to sleep in the little bedroom. Well, there was only one heat source in the house, and that was this old school furnace of some sort underneath the house, and there was a large steel grate that it came up and it radiated out. There weren't forced air ductwork through the house, so that bedroom was incredibly cold, right? So sleeping in the bedroom, I hated it, especially in the winter. We had little space heaters, but it was really cold. And, you know, I would pull the covers over my head because at night I would see, you know, the headlights dancing off of the road. And, you know, the thing, you think there are people walking around your bed. You think you hear things. But again, my dad's working three jobs. I'm there by myself as a young teenager. But it was a creepy house. And there was a built-in mirror, a floor to ceiling in the little kitchen that we would see that directly was across from my dad's bed in the living room. And we would often see a shadow man in the mirror. And one time I came home from Boy Scouts and the door was open and the storm door had been ripped off the hinges and was laying on the deck. And I turned to call the police and run across the street, and I ran smack dab into my friend who looked like he had seen a ghost. And he said that he was coming into the house because in, you know, the 90s in a small town, you don't lock the doors. He came in to wait for me to get home, and he bent down to tie his shoes, looks to the left, sees this black thing in the mirror, turns around and runs through the door. Well, shortly after that, my other brother came to live with us, and we needed a bigger house, so we moved right around the corner into an old Victorian that was split into a bottom apartment that had the basement and then a top apartment. And there was a narrow set of stairs that went up to one of the two bathrooms in the house, but then the bathroom terminated in a wall because that's where they partitioned the two apartments, right? And the access to the second apartment was on the outside of the house. So you can imagine this is what a house that's 120 years old looks like. It's got the floor-to-ceiling windows. It's got the big gables. It's got all the ornate, you know, crown molding. It's got a central, almost like a small ballroom that has a fireplace that leads off to a kitchen, the two bedrooms, and the living rooms in the front. And out back, there's an old well cap. And then there's access with a pole chute to the basement. The basement, you can imagine, you know, it's 5.5 feet tall. It's got, you know, peat growing on the walls. It was really what you think of an old, kind of rickety old house. Well, trouble pretty much started immediately. We would be in bed and we would hear whispers. We would hear knocking. We would hear noises. One night I was woken up by a woman screaming in my ear to wake up. To see a small little light behind a dresser. And I knew we didn't have a night light. So I woke my brother up, said, "Hey, what's that?" We go and we investigate, and we find that there's a sock laying on top, because boys throw their stuff everywhere behind a dresser, laying on top of a outlet to a window air conditioning unit, because of course in a 120 year old house, there's no central air, and it had caught fire because it shorted. And had we slept through that, this 120-year-old house would have went up in flames pretty much immediately. We probably all would have died. And we believe that that woman was screaming at us to wake up. And my dad had a girlfriend at the time whom we didn't care for very much. Looking back, it was just, you know, just stupid. But she had a girlfriend that would often sleep in our beds when we were at our mom's in Niles. And that woman one time woke up to see an old lady scowling at her with her arms crossed, and she ran out of the room and slept in her car for the rest of the night. And we think that that woman was probably the woman who was waking us up at night. My dad would often feel her get into bed, thinking that it was his girlfriend, but turn and look and there was no one there. We would often find our beds made, even though we, of course, teenage boys with a dad working three jobs, we would never make our beds ever, right? We would feel people behind us. We would be in the shower upstairs and feel cold breath on our neck. we would, you know, it got to the point where we would shower in pairs because we just couldn't stand to be up there. And probably the craziest thing that happened in that house was one day we were in my bedroom playing video games, and we had just watched a movie in my dad's room and left a wooden chair there, and his girlfriend was in there, you know, finishing up doing what she did. Well, we hear a loud crash and a scream, and we run into the bedroom, and we find a chair broken into two or three pieces and sticking into the wall. And there's a small bathroom off to the left, and my dad's girlfriend, the door was closed, and she was screaming. And we opened the door, and she was, you know, she was on the toilet, not dressed. And you could imagine that she would be embarrassed by this, but she really just needed help out of the room. So we kind of picked her up and took her out of the room and got her to calm down and stop. She wouldn't stay in there, and we had to get her out of the room. And what she said happened was she was using their bathroom, and the chair picked itself up, threw itself into the wall, and then the door closed. And as soon as the doors closed, the lights flickered and they popped, and we went in, and it wasn't a breaker. The bulb itself had literally exploded. And, you know, of course you ask yourself, did she fake it? Well, one, why would she? And two, why would she want three boys that aren't hers staring at her in the bathroom and helping her out of the bathroom? So that was probably the craziest thing that happened in that house. But it was just always a feeling of dread. My mood changed drastically in that house. I would walk past the fireplace and things would fly off the wall behind me. I remember sitting in the living room and looking at yet another strangely floor-to-ceiling mirror built into the wall in the center room, and seeing that same man in black that we saw at the house around the corner. And I wasn't scared. I actually started bawling. I was so overcome with sadness that I started crying, and the people in the room with me were kind of wondering what's going on. Why is this 6'4", 340-pound teenager crying uncontrollably? But I really just couldn't stop. So the violence between myself and my brothers would get to insane levels that we wouldn't feel anywhere else. It actually came to where we would feel sometimes more comfortable being back at my mom's apartment in Niles, except for one time. So this girlfriend had a son, and he lived with us, and we took him with us to Niles one time to hang out and give my dad and his girlfriend some time. And we were playing hide and seek, and it was in the hood and in Niles, and it was one of those old apartment complexes that you know, had seen a lot. It'd probably been built in the turn of the century. And we were playing hide and go seek, and we'd lost my younger brother. He was 7 years younger than me. We couldn't find him. We kind of got bored. And so I went upstairs, and I walked into my mom's bedroom, and I saw this little girl with black hair jumping on the bed. It was obvious to me that she wasn't real, that she was dead. And I heard a noise behind the couch in the bedroom, and I look, and it's my little brother hiding. And so I ran, I picked him up, threw him over my shoulder, and we kind of fell down the stairs getting out of the upstairs area. And, you know, a few years back, that was, you know, 35 years ago, we were talking at Thanksgiving, and he said, you know, we were talking, and he remembered me. He remembered the joy of winning the hide and seek contest, and then wondering why I would just drag him down the stairs. He didn't see the little girl jumping on the bed. Apparently, only I did. But I described this girl to the son of my dad's girlfriend, and he said that it resembled his dead sister, who had died in a fire when he was a little kid. So things just always followed us. And when we went off and went to college, my dad moved away. And, recently I kind of drove back into town. I hadn't been there in a couple decades, and I stopped at the old house, and it looked like it had been rotting since the day that we left. It just looked completely dilapidated and just in a sad state of repairs, but somebody apparently was living there. And I went and knocked on the door, and nobody answered. And I got this distinct impression. There was almost a voice inside my head, like somebody else. Why are you here? Go away. I turned around and left. But those 4 years shaped the way that I looked at the paranormal for the rest of my life. And it definitely changed my outlook on what's on the other side. Well, thanks, everyone. Have a great day.
Ever since I started doing the podcast, I've hated the game Hide and Go Seek.
Why is that?
Just the thought of like something else besides like your friends.
Yeah.
That could possibly just like find you.
Uh-huh. That could find you or you could find too. I mean, when you're hiding and going seek, a lot of times you're looking in odd places that, you know, weird closets or behind areas that otherwise aren't explored.
In either way, it's scary.
Yeah.
You know, the more I got older,
the more fear you got of hide and seek.
Yeah.
Wow. It usually goes the opposite direction.
I used to love hide and seek.
Mm-hmm.
That used to be something I used to beg, like, my sister to play.
Mm-hmm.
But now I've just grown a fear.
Do you remember the scene in The Conjuring where they're playing hide and seek? It's like it's a clap thing.
Uh-huh.
And they clap their hands. And then there's a scene in it where, like, the armoire opens up and there's a clap that comes out of it. And it's like ghostly hands or something. Now, I don't think that legitimately happened like that in the story, but you can ask Andrea sometime.
Yeah.
But it was, it's a hide and seek, creepy hide and seek.
Yeah, I still don't like hide and seek.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't like having to wonder, like, where are you? When you're a parent and your child is missing in any way, shape, or form, even hide and seek, it's not a good feeling. Because everything, like, did they get hurt somewhere? Am I not aware where they're at? All these things go through your mind. Whenever you're playing hide and seek, if I ever called you out, like, you can't keep hiding. You have to be like, okay, I'm coming out. Okay?
Okay.
Deal? 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Our next letter says, for my 15th birthday party, I threw a small party for me and my 6 closest friends. There were 3 guys and myself, including 3 girls. We were just planning on watching horror movies all night and eating junk food. That was how our night started, but it did not end like that. We've been hanging out for a while just watching a horror movie. We decided to use a Ouija board. My family does not own a Ouija board, but we really wanted to do one, so we made one out of a few pieces of paper taped together. One of my friends neglected to tell me that he was an extremely powerful psychic medium. One of my friends also neglected to tell me that he was, as he described it, a battery for spirits. And I'm a Wiccan, so the 3 of us combined using a Ouija board is probably not a great idea. So when I opened the board to spirits, my psychic friend said he kept seeing a little girl with blonde hair and blue eyes standing behind us. This was the point in time when we all started to feel a large change in energy. My best friend started to break down. We closed the board right away, and my 2 girlfriends, Sammy and Carmen, and my guy friend Jason took her into the kitchen to calm her down, and me, Jordan, and Lawrence went into my living room to set the Ouija board up against into a figure and to figure out what was happening. We did not get a response, but Jordan, my psychic friend, kept seeing the little girl in different rooms around the house and sensing a darker presence. We stopped using the board once my best friend Ava started freaking out. I had no control over her emotions. I started doing cleansings through my house in hopes of getting rid of the negative energy, and that we settled down and started watching funnier movies in hopes of forgetting what happened. Later, my friend Jordan called and said that the dark presence he had felt in my home had followed him home and was showing himself to him. He described him as being tall and a permanent wicked look on his face. He told us that the man tried to hurt him and started to choke him. We started to worry about him, and I gave him a charm that was supposed to keep away negative beings. My friend Ava said he started to see a little girl in her house and had nightmares every night about the little girl being hurt and tortured by the demon man that was haunting Jordan. I myself started to hear clawing in my room and having visions of a woman with raven black hair wearing a long white dress, and she actually looked a bit like me, just older and thinner. This activity went on for quite some time. There was a point in time when I believed Jordan was possessed and he didn't act like himself around us, and I started receiving Facebook messages telling me that Jordan was gone. My name is Jacob. I'm coming for you. I started to freak out by this and finally told my mom what happened. She believed me, as she herself had paranormal experiences. and has had premonitions. She told me to stay away from Jordan for a while and just to ignore everything that was happening as it would go away. After a few more weeks, it did go away, but Jordan was never the same, and all my friends always get uncomfortable when he's around. We can all sense him coming towards us without having to see him or hear him. My friend Amy still has weird stuff happening in her house, but has had no nightmares or seen the little blonde girl. I'm not sure what's going on with Jordan, but from the weird scratch marks on his arms and the old runic drawings he's been doodling, I can say firmly that something has attached to him. Myself, I've not had a lot of personal experiences, but the feeling in my house has not been the same. My mom and I are planning on doing a house cleansing to get rid of the negative energy. Thank you for your time.
I want to stop on by that possessed friend's house.
You want to stop on by that possessed friend's house?
Yeah. Maybe he could, maybe I could do a... The power of Christ expels you.
No, that it's the power of Christ compels you, but that's a fun little twist on the words.
Expels you.
It's like, well, we're going to make it new for the 2020s, and we're going to say the power of Christ expels you just to make it a little more modern, you know, something like that. But, no, I mean, what a creepy story. What a creepy experience that one would be.
And this is why you don't play with the Ouija boards, kids.
Yes, that's why we have Ouija Awareness Month here on the program.
Ouija Awareness Month. Happy Ouija Awareness Month.
Well, that's in October, so it's a little bit of ways away, but really not far. By the time this thing airs, well, this is airing actually here at the end of June, July, August. We're 3 months away from Ouija Awareness Month.
Yay.
So let the countdown begin. We'll get a little calendar up, put chocolates in it, and have...
Wait, August or October?
So, hi, Michael.
What, Ouija Awareness Month?
Yeah.
It's in October. So, July, August, September, that's 3 months, and then October. Because we're about to enter July.
Okay.
One month.
Yep. I know.
You're a very, very smart girl. I'm very amazed sometimes how you don't know, like, some basic things like the calendar. like, you can talk very insightful on so many things, but it's like, dates. It's like,
It's the one thing I'm faulty on.
It's funny.
I'm sorry.
I'm like that with names. I cannot remember anyone's name to save my life. Let's go to another phone call. Hi.
Hi, my name is Jessie. I am calling about something that happened to me when I was a kid. So I've always been really strong with paranormal activity, so on and so forth. Ever since I was a kid, I used to see my grandmother who passed away and so on and so forth. So I've always, you know, had that third eye, I guess. So... When I was a kid, we lived in a small neighborhood, so everybody knew everybody, and down the street from me had a cemetery. And the cemetery was huge, so there was a lot of unmarked graves that always gave me the heebie-jeebies. I mean, all cemeteries do, but this one specifically, I did not like going in it. So I'm at my house. All my girlfriends are there, it's summer, and all the boys had gone off with my brother's best friend, and all the boys stayed over there. I have a bunch of brothers, and they all went there, too. So it was girls at my house, boys a couple blocks down, the opposite way of the cemetery. So all of us girls were sitting outside, and we're just hanging out. It's middle of the night. It's summer, so we're laying in the yard looking at the stars, talking to each other. And then suddenly we hear screaming from the cemetery. So immediately we all shut up, and we get real quiet. And then we hear the screaming again. It sounds like my brother starts screaming, Jessica, 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 help me, Jessica. And it sounded just like my big brother. So I'm freaking out. I'm about to take off towards the cemetery, but then I stop and I'm like, but my brother's not down there. And I keep hearing it. And we can see somebody standing in the middle of the cemetery because, like I said, I was right down the street from it. And my brother's voice just kept screaming my name. So I called him. I called him on his cell phone. And he answers, hello, what's up? Danny, where are you? I'm at Sean's. And I can hear the TV in the background. But at the same time, I can hear his voice echoing down the street from the cemetery. He hears it over the phone. He says, what is that? I don't know. I thought it was you. Get inside now. So I grab all my friends. We run inside. I went to bed. I was like, I'm not dealing with this. It's not happening. So I went to bed. And the next day, one of the neighbor girls came down. They're like, hey, did you hear that screaming? Was that your brother? Is he okay? So it's not just us that heard it. It's everybody that's on the street. And at that cemetery, a bunch of weird stuff has always happened. There was a group of people that died in the cemetery at the time. And there's people that have gotten hurt in the cemetery. You know, kids going, thinking that they're being cute, going to the cemetery, falling in random holes, breaking their legs. It's very not good. Shapes have been seen. People, they ended up building an iron chain link fence around, and after a certain time, you can't go in. But that's my story. I just thought I'd share it with you since you guys seem to have really good insight. I'm enjoying your show. I'm going to be signing up to your subscription, and I'm going to spread the word. I'd like to keep hearing about y'all. So, all right. Well, I hope you guys, you know, have a good day. Thank you for listening to my story.
Thank you for sharing your story with us. Thoughts?
Jessica, don't go into the cemetery. It's not a good choice.
What could possibly go wrong?
Just no. Just, and that's when you call the police. Okay?
Why? Why would you call the police?
Because someone's like screaming your name and asking for help, but that person that's screaming your name, it's not actually there.
And then that would be the difficulty with the police because they'd be like, there's no one here, ma'am. That's where you just get the hell out of there.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's what you'd have to do. That's a creepy story. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And now it's time for your long distance dedication.
Everyone falls.
I don't know why I wanted to do that, but it was up on my screen over here waiting to exhale. I'm like, and now your long distance dedication. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the program, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more, and help keep us on the air. We could not do this thing without you. Until next time, for all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.